Matthew chapter 18. I was talking to a man in another state yesterday on the phone, and he mentioned to me that some of the people said, "Hey, we like this internet church thing. Let's keep doing that." And he said, "No," he says, I think we need to do it God's way and meet and assemble in His house." Amen? Amen. And I want you to know that when we come here, you don't come here to hear from me. You come here to hear from the Bible. And if I'm doing my job halfway right, then what you're going to hear is going to agree with the Bible and be accurate. But it's more than just what you hear. Of course, giving to the Lord is a form of worship, and singing to the Lord is a form of worship. And I don't know about you, but when I'm at home and I'm by myself, I'm not really in the mood to sing. I know a fellow that used to do that. He would sing to the Lord by himself, and fine man, I haven't got that kind of voice. But we come to church because we assemble in honor of God. Yes. And to give Him what He deserves. It's not a new thing. People have been doing this for centuries, for millennia. Back in the Old Testament, the Jews assembled. And we continue to do that. And one day we're all going to be assembled in heaven. Amen? Amen. Matthew 18, I'm going to start by reading you something at the end. Now, you believe the Bible is the Word of God, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what I want to show you is what God says, and it can be a fearful thing or it can be a wonderful thing. I'm going to read you the fearful part first. And this is really a two-part passage. If you've got your Bibles in Matthew chapter 18, I'm going to begin in a minute and look at verses 15 through 20. And verses 15 through 20 talk about forgiving one another. And then in verse 21, Peter asks the Lord, he says, "How often do I have to do that?" He says, "If my brother offends me and he comes to me and asks me to forgive him, how many times have I got to forgive him?" And he guesses, he says, seven, maybe seven times would be good. And the Lord's answer, he says, "No, it's a little bigger than that. It's 490. Now, if you're keeping track of how many times someone offends you and you get all the way to 490, you're a good counter. Very few people. The thought there is, keep on forgiving folks, because God keeps on forgiving you. How many sins do we have against God? Oh, a lot more than 490. And He keeps on forgiving us. So there's a parable here. And I'm just going to kind of set you up, and then I'll read it to you in a minute. But in the parable, there are two men. One of them owes millions of dollars, and he can't repay it. The other one owes about a dollar, maybe a dollar or so. And not a dollar in today's money, but maybe a dollar. Might be in the equivalent of a few months' wages in the Bible, maybe 3 months' wages. And the man that has been forgiven $1 million won't forgive somebody that owes him $1. And you say, "Well, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. If somebody forgave him $1 million, why wouldn't he forgive somebody a dollar?" That's God's question. And then God says, in that instance, here's what I'm going to do. If you look with me, I'm in Matthew 18, in verse 34, it says, "His Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Let me ask you to read that last verse with me. We'll remain seated, but just read Matthew 18:35 with me. Here we go. Ready? "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Do you believe that verse?
Amen.
I meet people from time to time, and they just can't find it. They cannot forgive people. I don't know why that is. I think it's I will not forgive often is the case. But folks, we need to be forgiving.
Amen.
Let me ask God to bless our time, and then we'll go back and begin in verse 15. Father, thank you this morning for each one here. God, I pray that I would use this time wisely, that you would give each of us ears to hear, that we would be interested in what is said today, and that it would be a reality to us that these verses apply to our lives. There's a picture of salvation here. There are principles of forgiveness here. And those same principles that you apply to us are principles that we are expected to apply to one another. And if we refuse to do that, we're just like that man that owed $1 million but wouldn't forgive $1. Help us not to be that way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have a driver's license? You got a driver's license? All right. And you've been driving and the policeman stopped you and told you that you were breaking the law and then didn't give you a ticket. How many of you have had that happen to you? Doesn't that feel good? How many have had that happen to you more than once? My hand is up. More than twice, my hand is up. More than three times, my hand. Brother Gonzalez, how many tickets do you, how many times do you get stopped? Younger. Oh, when you were younger. Okay, so your driving habits have improved. Amen? Veronica, is that true?
Yes.
Jeremy's got both hands up. He says that's happened to him a lot. I like forgiveness, don't you? And I was driving down the road in Texas one time, and I thought I was being pretty good. I was going about 55 miles an hour. That was back when the speed limit was 55. And a highway patrolman stopped me, and he said, "Do you know the speed limit here?" And I said, "Yeah, it's 55. He said, "No, it's 35. And he said, "But since you didn't know, I'm going to let you go." And it feels good to be forgiven, doesn't it? Now, wouldn't it be good to know that God forgave you?
Amen? Yes.
Amen? And in fact, the principles I'm going to show you here, they apply perfectly to how we get saved. It's the very same things there. If you're here today and you know that you're saved, you're going to see that. If you don't know that you're saved, when you see it, I hope you can apply it. But when you get saved, these principles come into effect. So in this passage, well, we're going to begin reading up here in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. And the first thing I want you to know is this. God expects you and I to try to make things right with one another.
That's right. Amen. That's good.
And let me explain this real clearly for you, okay? There are going to be times, it is absolutely sure to happen, somebody's going to say something or do something that's going to offend you. And that's the terminology. It's called a trespass is what it's called. And we've seen that word offend, but the word here is trespass. And you know what it means to trespass? You cross the line. They're going to do something to hurt your feelings. They're going to say something or do something to hurt your feelings. And so, of course, when we think about how we can deal with that, you have several options. One of those options is to get even. And a lot of people tend to do that. And folks, that's not right. And let me just remind you, however you want God to treat you is the way you should treat other people. So if you want God to get even with you, then go ahead and get even with people. But we don't want that, amen? And so the thing to do is to try to make things right. You say, "Well, Pastor, they really hurt my feelings." I understand. I've had my feelings hurt too. All of us have. Maybe they injured you somehow. There could have been a physical injury or a monetary injury, or there could have been simply something that they said that they shouldn't have said. And our obligation is, if someone offends us, someone hurts my feelings or slanders me or whatever, my obligation is to try to make things right with them. In other words, we're seeking to see this situation forgiven. Now listen, that's the way God deals with you and I. We've all offended God. And I want you to know, God's not an angry, vicious, vindictive God that doesn't care about you. God sent His Son to die on a cruel cross, a painful death, so that He could forgive you. He was so willing to make things right with you and to have reconciliation, is the Bible term, to make it right again, that He was willing to send His Son to die on the cross and pay for your sins. That's how much God was willing. And He He wants you to know, and the Bible makes it very clear. The Bible says all have sinned. You and I have offended God. And then the Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should have eternal life. God's willing to forgive you. He wants to forgive you. He's made a way for you to be forgiven. And he comes to you, and his Holy Spirit comes to you, just as happens in these first few verses here. And the Holy Spirit reaches out to you and says, you've offended God, let's make this right. Let me get you to stand for the reading of God's word in this first portion, and then I'll have a quick word of prayer, and I'll read the rest of it while we're seated. But let's look at these first few verses. Matthew 18:15, the Bible says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. If he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church, the assembly. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Father, please bless our time, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. So number one, we have a mandate to make things right with people, to seek reconciliation, just like God seeks to be reconciled with us. And there's a couple of things you need to understand from those verses. First of all, you individually seek to obtain reconciliation. You don't start by getting a bunch of people and telling them what the other person did. It's between you and them. If that doesn't satisfy, if they won't listen to you, then you get a couple of people and go back to them again and again, trying to make things right, trying to get them to understand their offense and to resolve that. If they refuse at that point in time, then it becomes a matter for the church. And if they still refuse to hear, you may not understand, but at the end of verse 17, he says, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. And what that would mean to the Jews is we're not going to have anything to do with them. In other words, they're going to be outside of our fellowship. We're no longer going to have fellowship with them. Now, the thing I want to get to you in those three verses, and we're going to keep on reading, is this. The person who is offended has a mandate or a command or a responsibility, whatever word you'd like to use, to try to make things right. Because we want to be right with one another. Now, I've known some people that they just like to be contrary and they like an argument. I don't like arguments. I don't like to know that I've offended somebody. I want to know so that I can make it right, but I would not leave an offense outstanding. I would try to reconcile. And there's that mandate that we have, and God fulfills that mandate when he gives us the Word of God. It tells us what he expects from us, and it tells us what is a sin and what we have done, and it tells us that we are all guilty. It says there's none righteous, no, not one. So after you realize that mandate, and we could easily spend the entire day on morning on these three verses, I want to keep going here because I want to get down to this passage in verse 21. But let's just look quickly at verses 18 through 20 if you're there. And there's an interesting statement here. He says in verse 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye, that's a plural there, ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We tend to use those three verses in a lot of different ways. Quite often, you hear us mention that when two or three gather in the name of the Lord, that he's here in our presence. He's here today. In a special way, not just his omnipresence, which is everywhere, but when we meet in his name, he meets with us. That's a good reason to be in church. But the emphasis of these three verses is very simple. I have heard some people say, well, I don't care what the church says. If they don't like it, that's tough. I'll go somewhere else. I want you to know something. God cares what the church says. Amen. Amen? He has given the church authority to make some decisions. And he says, whatsoever ye, and he's talking about the assembly there, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. We have, as a church, the authority to make decisions about what we call church discipline. Not a pleasant subject. I'm not going to talk about that right now. I just want you to know that God's given us a responsibility, and he's also given us authority to conduct those kind of matters. But I really want to get down to this parable that we see beginning in verse 21. And so I'll just read some of this to you. I've talked about it already. But Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times." Now, I think Peter probably was a rough kind of fellow, don't you? He was a fisherman. He was always quick to talk. He probably, if you hurt Peter's feelings, he'd have no trouble at all telling you about it. And if he hurt yours, I don't know how that would go, but the Lord had to work on him too, like he does on us. But what happens here is Peter's thinking, you know, this is going to get old. Someone offends me, and then I have to forgive them, and they do it again, and I have to forgive them, and they do it again, and I have to forgive them. Well, how do you think God feels? Amen? Folks, the Bible says if we confess our sins, not to a man, not to a priest, no. If we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad God forgives? Wouldn't you hate to have a God that held a grudge? Wouldn't you hate to have a God that wanted to get even with you? That's not the kind of God we have. That's not the kind of God that created us. So Peter says, I think seven times would be a lot. And God says, no, seven times isn't even going to start. It's 70 times seven is a better number. And the emphasis there once again is nobody counts that high. We had a staff member in Maryland one time, and she was a kindergarten teacher. And Stephanie will know who I'm talking about probably. And she had a teacher's aide, and every year, it didn't matter who we gave her to be her teacher's aide, she just couldn't get along with them. And so about halfway through one year, she came to me and to the school administrator, and she had a notepad, and she had written down every time this teacher's aide had offended her, and it was page after page after page. And I thought, did you ever try to make this right with her? Did you ever try to... You know, folks, aren't you glad God's not in the business of just keeping track of what we do? God's in the business of forgiving us, too. Every day, if you don't do much of anything else, every day, read your Bible, amen, and pray, and ask God to forgive you. And guess what? He does. And clean slate. No penalty. God will forgive you, and the Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty. So... here's the parable, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 23. He says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is the way we do it in God's kingdom. I don't know about Satan's kingdom or the world's kingdom, but this is the way God does it, okay? There's a kingdom of heaven, he said. He says, there was a certain king. By the way, God's a king, amen? Which would take account of his servants. So he's going to see how his servants are doing, how much they have owed him or whatever. In verse 24, Matthew 18:24, when he had begun to reckon, he's counting, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. It's literally like $1 million. You know, I knew a fellow in Utah that broke his neck and didn't have insurance and wound up owing the hospital $100,000. He managed to pay that back. Wouldn't you hate to have somebody come to you and say, you owe $1 million? Where do you start? You know, you make, I don't know, if you make $50,000 a year and you got to live on some of that, you could never pay $1 million back, could you? Unless you happen to be a very unique individual. But you know what? God can forgive $1 million. Amen. Now let me ask you a question. Do you understand how much God has forgiven you and I? In the first place, we sin against him every day. What's the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart. We love so many things. We spend so much time. We exert ourselves to gain material possessions or to have more of this or to do more of that. And we leave God out of our lives so often. And the Bible says we should love God more than anything. And we should love God to the exclusion of everything. And the second commandment's like to the first. We should love our neighbor as ourselves. So God comes to us and says, here's what I expect of you. And we sin against him every day. And not just in that way, by the things that we think about, by the things that we do, by the way we treat one another. And there are all sorts of, whether we're honest or not. And the Bible says, if you hate somebody to the point of wishing them dead, it's the same as having killed them. So we have an incredible debt that we owe God. And you can see the picture here is not just anybody. It's us and God. 10,000 talents, $1 million, a debt that could not be repaid. And let me be concise. Our sin debt could not be repaid. We owed God more because of our sins than we could ever repay. Someone says, I'll get baptized. What difference does that make? Someone says, I'll do better. Try that the next time the mortgage comes in. Tell the bank, I'll do better. They still want their money. When you owe a debt, you owe a debt. Doing better doesn't change the debt. Well, someone says, you know, I'll be good and I'll do some good deeds. You cannot pay back God for the sins you have offended him with. There, you have nothing he needs. What do you have that God needs? He doesn't need your gold. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the Bible says. He owns the world and all that's in it. And then that's just this world. What about the other worlds and space and all the things that belong to him? We have nothing God needs. Try to buy your way out of that debt. You can't do it. Amen. That's the picture we have here. Then in verse 25, it says, Matthew 18:25, for as much as he, this man in debt, had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. And so, in other words, the initial command is, we'll just take everything from him. We'll take his possessions, we'll take his family, we'll take his children. They'll be slaves, his wife will be a slave, he'll be a slave. Everything he has will be taken from him. Not a very good option. What's the option if you and I are not forgiven by God? The Bible says hell is the option. Separation from God for all eternity. The servant, therefore, in verse 26, fell down. Now listen, because this is our second principle, I'll tell you what it is. The servant fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Well, he really can't. But you can see where his heart is. Watch what happens. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Do you remember how you felt when you got saved? If you understood, like I think almost all of us would have, you understood, I've sinned against God and I deserve to spend eternity in hell. You know, it would be one thing if you just cease to exist, but it's not that way at all. The Bible says when you die, just like we studied the other night in Luke, the rich man lift up his eyes in hell. He was being tormented and it continued. It did not stop. That's what we deserved. And then you realize God forgave you. Wow, that feels good. You know, it doesn't compare to anything that I can picture in an illustration. It would be like in the person here with the very most debt, and someone came along and paid the entire debt for you, and you were debt free. Or the person that had committed some horrible crime and been sentenced to death, and then their sentence was commuted, and they were released from prison and given their life back again. This fella had to feel pretty good about this, and he should have understood something. The way God treated him is the way he should treat those indebted to him. The first mandate is that we try to make things right. But then there's a second mandate. We ought to forgive those who ask. Amen. If someone comes to us and says, you have offended me. If someone comes to me and says that I have offended them, then I should ask them to forgive me, and they should be willing to forgive. God is. Amen? Now look what happens here. The illustration is so very clear. The parable just speaks for itself. So he forgave him the debt in verse 27. This man that owed an unpayable debt has been forgiven and set free. You and I who were lost, we have been saved, we have been forgiven and set free. Verse 28. But The same servant, the one that had been so far in debt, went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. That word pence typically means a penny. And again, it's 100 pennies, so it might be, in our ideas, a dollar. In those days, it might be 3 months' wages, maybe. Still, not nearly $1 million. Not an unpayable amount, but too much to just pull out of your pocket. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, verse 29, and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." Where have I heard that before? Look at verse 26. When he was talking to his Lord, he owed the $1 million to, he said, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." Now, the man that owes him a dollar says the very same words, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And look at verse 30. Are you there? Let's read that together. "And he would not." Stop right there. What? You have been forgiven an unpayable debt, $1 million, and somebody owes you a dollar and you won't forgive them? Now, this is a real simple message if you understand this. That's the picture of you and I when we refuse to forgive someone that's hurt our feelings. Because in relation to what we owed God, it's a dollar versus a million. We owed God millions. Somebody offends us, it's like a dollar. And we say, "I won't forgive them." Now, let's just look at the rest of the story. It makes perfect sense. It's not that long. He would not, in verse 30. He went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants, the other folks observing this, saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, us, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now, just as I was reading that, two or three things come to my mind, and I want to remind you of one of them. It is our obligation to ask God to forgive us. But God will forgive. It is our obligation, when someone else asks, it's our obligation to forgive them. If someone asks us to forgive them, well, let's turn that around. If we ask someone to, if we came to someone and say, "You've offended me," and they won't hear it, you've already seen the principle, then they become an outcast. They're honestly in the same situation as this man that was owed a dollar. If they will not make things right with us, they would let God be right with them, but they would not be right with us. It's a million versus one. We are instructed to go to those that have offended us and ask for ask them to make things right, to explain to them they've offended us. And then it's their responsibility to ask for forgiveness. And it's our responsibility to forgive. Let me say all three again and make sure you got that. If you've been offended, we're supposed to say something. The person that has offended us should ask for forgiveness, and we should forgive. Now, that's the way it is in the kingdom of heaven. If we did that, wouldn't it be a peaceable church? Amen? Amen? Wouldn't it be a peaceable life if we did that? God does that for us. We should do that for one another. Amen. If we won't forgive, it turns the whole thing upside down. Then what happens is we take God's forgiveness, but we refuse to forgive others. The Bible says God's going to deal with us differently. You say, "Well, Pastor, does that mean I can't be saved?" Folks, nothing means you can't be saved. Amen? In other words, the only way you can avoid being saved is by refusing to ask God to forgive you. If you come to God and you ask Him to forgive you for your sins, understanding that Christ died to pay for your sins, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Have you done that? Amen. Amen? I have. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. We all have a debt to God that we couldn't pay, but God's a forgiving God, and God sent His Son to forgive us. Praise the Lord. Now, how do we deal with one another? You say, well, somebody hurt my feelings. I'm never going to talk to him again. Nope, that's not the way it works. I've had two. It gets old. I'll say this. It gets old in the ministry. Someone will come to me and they'll say, Pastor, you've offended me. I'm leaving the church. Where's the forgiveness? Where's the opportunity for me to make things right with them? No, I don't want to hear it. I'm leaving. That's called being vindictive. Amen? Shouldn't be that way. It'd be sort of like me coming to you and saying, you know, you've offended me, get out of the church. I'd never do that. But that's the way people treat you sometimes. Folks, we need to forgive people. Amen? Say, Pastor, it's not a complicated message. No, it's not. But the Bible says when we won't do that, God's going to deal with us much differently. As we are forgiven, we should forgive others. As we forgive others, God forgives us. And it just keeps on going. Amen? Amen. You know what's going to be happening in heaven? And I'll finish with this thought. We're going to get to heaven, and there's going to be somebody there that perhaps we held a grudge against. And I want you to know something. In heaven, we're all going to get along. Amen? There won't be any arguments in heaven. There won't be any grudges in heaven. There won't be any sin at all in heaven. I don't know how God's going to do that, but He is. And when you get to heaven, I don't know who you've got a grudge with or who's got a grudge against you, but it's all going to be over with. You're going to feel kind of silly. Why did I wait so long when I could have made it right on earth like God wanted me to? So there's those three mandates, and I'm done. We have a mandate to try to make things right. We have a mandate to forgive. And if we refuse to forgive, we are accountable to God for that. Forgiveness is what? I've thought about that a lot. Forgiveness is giving up the right to hurt somebody who's hurt you. I'm going to tell you something that works for me, and it'll work for you. Let's say somebody has hurt you. They've gone after you. They've done it on purpose. They came to you, and they hurt you as much as they could, and they did it deliberately, and it hurt. I mean, it impacted your life in a great way, and I've been there. I've done that. I've experienced that. Here's what you can do to forgive people. Get down on your knees and say, Lord, I want you to know I forgive that person. And God, I'm asking you to forgive them, and I'm asking you to bless them and care for them and prosper them and give them a good life and meet their needs and make them spiritually successful and help them to do great things for your glory and just give them good things. God, I forgive them. If you can tell God you forgave somebody, I think you can forgive somebody. Amen? Someone says, nope, I'm not going to do it. They hurt me, and I'm not going to do it. I just refuse. Well, we'll read them again, and I'll be done. Verse 34, his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. I'm not going to try to interpret that for you. It says what it says. I think we need to forgive folks. Amen? And I just want to say it again as we finish the service. Aren't you glad we have a God that forgives us? Amen. Don't ever find yourself in that place where you refuse to forgive. And please don't refuse to ask somebody if they've hurt you. And sadly, many times I've known of situations, I've experienced situations to where someone was offended and we didn't even know we hurt their feelings. We had no idea that anything was wrong. And they came to us and they said, you know, you hurt my feelings. And it was an oversight or a mistake. And we should be diligent and we should avoid those kind of things. But many times we hurt folks and we couldn't even help it. We didn't even know. Folks, let's forgive one another. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.